PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the Original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me once again, it has been a while, and I'm thrilled to have him back on to blow our minds a little bit, is Mr. Jason Horodesky. He is of Kinetics fame, and Jason, it is awesome to have you back on.
Well, I'm delighted to be here, Dan. Thank you for accommodating me, and I'm excited to reach out to the community and let them know all the exciting stuff we've got ready for them.
Well, it's been a while since you've been on, and what my assumption is, when you go a little dark on me, that means you've got crazy things in the works. I saw on our homepage, James put up an awesome article talking about products you guys have coming out that sound fantastic and incredibly interesting. But before we dive too much into that, can you give us an idea what the last year or so has looked like for you?
Well, we have taken a 30,000 foot view on how we evolve and really separate ourselves as we know we have physically, but in a marketing sense. And so we've taken a few steps back to sort of get a gauge of course of action moving forward. My thinking is always first principles. So ultimately, putting the troops together, the team together, rebuilding a few of the back end parts of our team from the front end sort of engagement, marketing, and that kind of thing. And at the same time, knowing we had some what is truly transformative technology coming. So it was an opportunity to regroup while at the same time, conclude in what is, we are confidently stating the most significant advancement in innovation in golf shafts and materials in golf, in the composite space, in over 15 years. So this isn't just this shaft story, this is across the category. So, you know, that takes time, planning, prep, more 2 years plus into R&D and a lot of sweat equity and bandwidth and brain power and capital and all that good stuff, which we don't sacrifice when we're onto something. And we truly believe that. So the last year is kind of like the last 24 months of hardcore, really macro thinking. And here we are today.
You always get me. You always get me with the lead in. I think it's important to acknowledge and recognize that you're speaking in a very grand term, but the reality that you guys do things differently and in a very positive and curious way is quite true. And it's not that you're experimenting from the outside in. You've been in the depths of golf for a long time. You understand what it takes to build product. And it seems like every time you come on, we're having a conversation about doing it in a different way. And what I mean by a different way is different than what we as golfers are familiar with. What makes sense to us is a challenge for you, I feel like.
Well, the industry is to blame for part of that. Being a cyclical industry, you have peaks and valleys. And so it's to blame, and then there's a justifiable reasoning. So you've got sometimes a learning curve that's outside the norm of paying bills and driving revenue if you're a retailer or fitter at the bespoken level or any level for that matter. And sometimes that's a challenge. So I call it a fork change, because technically that's what these things are, whether you're skilled in the art or not. Sometimes wash and repeat works. And unfortunately, the golf industry is a victim of wash and repeat for a long time. And so little changes seem to be big stories. And that's an unfortunate thing. We're also governed by a body that at times can be restrictive and reactive rather than intelligent and pragmatic. And so with that being said, the histographic image looks pretty flatline. Little changes, incremental changes, not a lot of risk on. But if you look at the periods of time over years where risk on was taken. I can name several of them. I mean, Gary Adams with the Metal Woods, the Pittsburgh Persimmon, if you will. Mr. Callaway with Hazelnut Technology. And I mean, these are disruptors, and those were game changing. Alvola, if you will, and paying homage to Flood and the group back in the days, starting things out, exploiting, carbon fiber years and years ago, which were a patriarch too. So we kind of date, they predate us, but not by much. So interestingly enough, we're in our 38th year. So at the end of the day, the industry is ripe for change. It's a convoluted market across categories. We've got distance standards of wonderful club head architectures and a range of very convoluted golf shaft stories that everyone's sort of pulling for market share and attention. And from our perspective, our goal is to really put our best foot forward at all times, push the barriers of what's possible within the confines of what's permissible, and ultimately then learn how to tell that story so that the dealers and fitters can be brought up to speed in a reasonably rapid period of time so they don't compromise their business paradigm, I guess, to be very honest. And that's kind of where we're at. We're going to learn now this marketing thing and tell our story, but we are the greatest story in the category space, and we're a patriarch. We deserve to be on the short list of discussions amongst those who really produce innovation and the highest quality products. And that's where we want to be. And we've defined our own categories: construction and materials. That's the confluence of engineering and design. Very important. How we make is much different than everyone else. There's been a lot of these convoluted stories come down the lines and comparisons, which are so wrong. Technically, I'm here now to stand our ground and to really present what we do, because what we do, no one else does. And we're way ahead of everyone else. So no fluke why we're having this discussion. We're really proud of what we've got in our latest technology. And, it's a celebration now to really get to the golfer and deliver a technical performance value proposition like never before. Head scratching. It is truly. That's after 500 dozen golf balls on a robot and unbiasedly ripping apart and retooling and reiterating and then even me personally going on a golf course and scratching my head thinking, did I really just do that? That was amazing. So I'm walking them off too. I've got data acquisition like no one else. We have everything that anyone has and then some, including a very healthy 6-digit camera. But the fact is that there's nothing like pacing off a drive when you're, 3 holes ahead of your buddies, metaphorically speaking. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I want to rewind a little bit because part of the benefit of being a show that's been around for a number of years is it requires an avid listener to understand that when you come on the show, we get challenged pretty hard in the way we look at things, the way we understand things, the material discussion. There's a lot to take in when you come on. And I think it's important for people to understand, unless they're an avid listener, they probably don't know that yet. And I think it's really important to discuss that you are not only looking at things differently, but you're applying it differently, you're constructing it differently, and you're using materials that most other people aren't using. You think of things like Kevlar. I think immediately of Kinetics. You're the world's only vacuum cured golf club shaft, which is incredibly unique, and that comes with the benefits of things that are reduced, like glues, things that don't really matter for performance. They matter for filler, and that's a problem because of consistency. And wouldn't you rather have the technology as opposed to the thing that keeps it together, applying to the golf shaft? So we've all had those who are avid listeners have the benefit of coming into the show being like, oh my God, what has he got this time? But the reality is there's quite a few people that still need to know. So I don't want to take a full show on it or anything like that, but can you give us a couple minutes on the kinetics difference and why it is that you feel so segmented and different from others in the category?
Well, we first order in our, again, I've stated this before and explained this, we have 3 degrees of freedom in our filament wound construction. And the fact that we have end-to-end control of our supply chain in general, when it comes to being one of only two companies that in golf that manufacture unidirectional materials. And so that gives you, it affords you a tremendous amount of organic continuity. And so I'm not reliant on the supply chains the way others are. There is, and I'll state for the record, there's an incestuous relationship that goes on because the largest producer of carbon fiber is a consortium, and so they can predicate what others receive, and then they create strategic bedfellows. So without getting further than that, but I will state that that does bias the industry. So you get the little guys who are trying to think they have an idea from perhaps a cocktail napkin drawing or a graphic or an aesthetic. They're still just really reapplying the same, and they're limited to what they can use. It's like going to the grocery store and having a recipe that you have to make do, you have to ad lib, and you've got your constraints. And we have less constraints because of the fact that we have the freedom of manufacturing processes, both through our unidirectional supply chain in-house, and so it allows us to tailor unidirectional fiber prepreg. And then at the same time, we have in our filament wound construction, 3 degrees of freedom. So geometry, tension, and winding pattern. Very, very critical with, say, our filament wound shafts. But now where we sit is really, really unique because, we're dealing with, on the Kevlar thing, I'll just state, and we can go into that, but it's been taken for granted, but it's sure saved a lot of lives to this point. But now the last 15 years, the material's been reworked to the point where it's now leader in the category again, light years ahead of anything else. And that category, Aramids, is introducing now a competitive edge or an enhancement to all your really high order carbon fibers. And I'm not going to discount use of carbon fiber because in this case here, we're able to use it. We get the best of all worlds, and we've never had this freedom before. So now in theory, we're like 4 degrees of freedom in our processes, and nobody's even close. They're barely touching two. And this is where the demonstrable edge comes. It's no fluke. And we've worked really hard and tirelessly to produce what we have so far in today's Surge and Flexure products. But the novelty of that, more than anything, speaks for itself in the performance it delivers.
Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting looking at it from your perspective. And I think the best thing to do at this point is to focus on the new products I've seen, and you can break down whether that incorporates some of the things that people haven't heard before, whether it does. I've got a lot to learn as this goes down too. Like, listen, I read an article and it was excellent. But I think getting the details from you is always the most fun that I have when it comes to these types of things. So that there, from my understanding, there is a new technology called Kevlar Exo that you've created. And it has been applied to, I believe, 2 different shafts at this point to be released or are released.
So I'll step back. So we didn't create it. It's DuPont's material, and the tremendous team in their Aramids division were tasked to sort of improve upon what has been. I mean, let's be serious here. This is a material that has saved lives, and there's 100 plus variations of the standard nominal Kevlar. And it's 55 years old. And I mean, there are a lot of people playing golf today because of Kevlar. They're living to play another day. So more than anything, the impact of that material across categories, really important. But they stumbled into an evolution and allowed them to, for let's keep this pretty light, to create a lighter, stronger, more flexible, higher tenacity version of Kevlar. And that's what you see in today's Kevlar XL, revolutionary. And it's why you're going to see high order applications across the board from defense to industrial, and not the least of which some of those will partake in on the latter side of that, because we've stumbled across a way in which to create a unidirectional version of AirMid through Kevlar XL. We're the world's only, outside of the Department of Defense, manufacturer that's producing high order, super novel, unidirectional Kevlar XL prepreg. And we have a range of specs, and we expect those product to be tailored to other makers, not golf shafts particularly at all. It's real makers of other products that are meaningful across the board, where our technology in the material, putting it to practice, this is this revolutionary DuPont material, will make a game changer in other categories of product manufacturing. So that's what we're really excited about as well. I mean, this isn't just a golf shaft story. This is a continuity program that, I mean, we will improve people's lives through potentially use of prosthetic limbs with our material, all kinds of applications cross category, whereby what we produced is so novel, it will have the eyes and ears of those skilled in the art, like myself, and in their own categories, looking to improve their art and looking to improve their products. Demonstrable improvements, performance improvements. So that's why this is such a big story. And don't be surprised to see if this is in a clubhead of an OEM brand that we support over in the future, because it's that demonstrable. Wow. What's being used today isn't anywhere near as impactful as what we have. So we will stop at nothing to, we're in a full scale mode. We're very poised for growth. We're already used to it. We're not small, but at the same time, we're very capable. Lean and mean, as I say, and on the meaner side, intellectually, and we're very proud of what we've done. We continue to innovate. And so we've taken what is a very novel material, and we put it to practice in places where I think everyone is scratching their head saying, wow. So it's exciting time for sure.
So we have the great privilege here of thinking solely about golf, but it is fun to understand and recognize that these materials have a significant benefit outside of this industry. And I think that's quite curious, but it's also fun. I mean, it's the idea that you can link this up to other things that exist in the world today. It's very interesting. So I guess
there's no coincidence there. I'll say this though. Golf industry was developed, and first and foremost, it became very core rooted in San Diego. I've got some long run guys that can hit it from where some of the core golf companies, the brands are. But the fact is, San Diego houses it. You know, it's Boston by the ocean. Southwestern United States, and a lot of independent defense related contractors ended up planting there. So as they rise in tide, the change of economic scale, some of them had free time, if you will, and they dabbled in golf because they were producing high order defense related elements and ultimately very skilled, very trained, and needed to make some money. And this golf was at a time growing, and so the industry really became rooted in San Diego because there's a lot of tech-savvy people there, and there always have been. And ultimately, it's no coincidence, but at the same time, golf club impacts can actually pre-qualify materials in all kinds of applications. The geometries, the engineering language and design language that goes into a golf club, aerodynamics and lift and drag coefficients. And these things are critical to, it might seem trivial being a golf and leisure thing, but pastime, but at the end of the day, it's grand scale because proof of concept for something bigger can be obtained in golf. And that's a unique thing. Plus it's a tremendous arrester. So on a business side, there's always that trade-off, right? You've got these determinants and at times on a business side, some of the risk on is taken off by applications in golf. So in other words, high order, you know, high velocity impacts that prove out a material or a conceptual design that may be applicable to other industry. And it's very unique. So while we're enjoying it, getting the benefits of it, and there's some good people and very talented people in the category, it also benefits the sport. It benefits applications that you'd be shocked. You know, even stress and strain and circuitry of say your electronic devices on your hands or in your pocket, if you will. Some of these engineers learned a lot from stress and strain systems, relief systems of a golf club. And, you've got a high velocity impact, a lot of mass. There's a lot of compounded mass at impact, and that translates to other ideas. So again, you are who you are with, as they say. And ultimately what happens is you get people skilled in an art and they are putting to practice something in one category, it often gives birth to other innovation. And that's what happens. It's the proverbial 5-minute mile that everyone starts running, and then it's a 4-minute mile, right? And then now we're seeing marathons sub 2 hours. I mean, it's just sort of that pace of being able to deploy, being able to react, being able to engage. And sometimes that's crisis innovation, and other times, which that's what got the U.S. here, to this point. I mean, we're leaders in all categories of engineering and science, and but it was born out of crisis innovation. And sometimes that also could be leisure innovation too, because, you know, there's a golfing crisis, if you will. But no, jokingly aside, I think there's no coincidence. These things do connect. There's nexus for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting because from my optics, at least from internally, like, looking at the golf side and hearing about some of these product innovations, we even this year have seen conversations, well, this company took this technology that existed here, whether it was in another one of their subsidiaries or whatever it may be, and brought it into golf and incorporated it. We hear a lot of that as opposed to hearing where the golf technology is taken elsewhere. I think it's sort of hiding in plain sight. Unless you're paying attention to it, you're probably not really noticing it that much. But I'm curious from your optics, you talked about these technologies, these experiments, these different types of materials that are incorporated into driver heads. I feel like you're looking at this thing totally different than we are. You're looking from a pure application, performance, durability standpoint. Every time someone comes out with a new driver or a new technology in golf, where we're looking at purely on the performance side. Does it look good? Does it sound good? Does it hit well? It has to be really fun for you to see some of these new technologies and to decide for yourself whether they're taking that next giant leap or like, oh, maybe you could have done this, you know?
Yeah, well, and then there's boundary conditions for that too, for sure. Mm-hmm. But impact mechanics and you know, physics without grossly violating those laws, you know, Newtonian physics. The unfortunate thing is in golf, the industry plays into this, but no offense to these guys, they're great instructors, but most golf pros teach intuitively, even as scientific as they think they are. Conservation of energy is where most people drop out or lose attention in physics at an academic level. And unfortunately, it's the least intuitive of all the physics principles. So, and there's cross-pollination there, but it's very complicated. Yet we're in an industry that's sort of this sort of litmus test lick it, touch it, smell it, feel it, let's go. That's fine, but it also speaks into that retailer that I mentioned earlier where, okay, so let's commercially exploit this because money breeds opportunity. Because, I mean, let's face it, I mean, Apple with the MP3 player was really the beginning and the pod, the iPod was what gave birth to Apple, and that gave birth to the music cataloging, which gave birth to all this revenue that allowed them to produce cutting edge product where we are today, these incredible computing devices. And one thing leads to another. So there is still nexus there, and all this relates. So momentum breeds big with everything, whether you're a golfer on a golf course. I mean, look at these guys, they go on a tear. Well, the momentum, that they're manifesting that because good is happening. So more good's going to happen unless someone trips over their own way. And at the end of the day, same thing happens technically. We push each other. I mean, you look at the AI has been around forever. It's not new. It's more portable today. It's in your hand. It's this compute power that is right here, portable now. But theoretically, we've been using AI for a long time. So at the end of the day, look where we are. Back to these determinants. So you're looking at performance, sound, acoustics, being sound, feel, which is hard to perceive because you and I feel the same thing differently. And there's all kinds of reasoning for that. But you still have to get to the first principles. And technically, most of the top three club brands would look at this. There'd be someone in their ranks that have that skill set to a degree that would look at the causality and then determine how to tailor a commercially viable product that is going to deliver some of the checks, you know, check the boxes that you're talking about. We're no different, whether it be with our shaft technology. It just so happens, though, because we're a materials company as well, very, very critical there. We're a materials company as well. We really have an advantage in our shaft making, and then even our material, our unidirectional pre-pregging process is proprietary and patented. So it's very different than what anyone else is doing there as well. We have freedoms that others don't have. I can't elaborate beyond that, but at the end of the day, that gives us a tremendous edge. And so now, there's no coincidence with what we're looking at in terms of how to apply what we're doing. I expect to see our version of Kevlar XO not only becoming a household name in shafts as the most authoritative, revolutionary shaft technology to enter the bag for most players, but don't be surprised if you see it in a club head within the next 2 years either. It takes that cycle of time. You know, the guys are with their hands full and, really engaged, but ultimately, yes. And why? It's the improvement. It's the technical that I'm looking at. It's the performance advantage that then fits in the box that you're mentioning as a golfer or even skilled individual. You're a discerning, skilled individual, Dan. So at the end of the day, but your parameters are going to be different than mine. So I'm looking at all kinds of things from wear life and the physics of a material and its atomic structure. So I can repeatedly produce it consistently to that commercial product that I want to deliver for Kinetics, ourselves, our branded products, or some of our partners. And it's really key. So we're working on the same frequency, but maybe a little, at times, a little different plane. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, listen, the old Dan would have fallen over at smell and taste and probably would have asked you what Kevlar XO tasted like. I've leveled up a little bit, Jason. So I actually managed to follow most of that, which is great. I'm quite proud to say that I think I know where you're going at this point. But I do want to talk specifically about the new products before we get too long here. There are two specific designs. I feel like the right thing to do would be to break them down sort of individually. And do you want to start with, forgive me if I'm wrong, they're really fun labeling names. Surge X, is that how you would call that?
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah. So first of all, we have Kevlar XO. And then from what I understand, you guys are actually taking a carbon fiber wound component and then incorporating the Kevlar XO on the exterior of that?
No. So, close.
I tried.
Basically, it's good. No, it's good. The Surges is what is our utility patented hybrid construction, like no other shaft on the planet. And ultimately, it is the name is because it truly delivers a surge in everything. It's absolutely revolutionary. It is a true speed and precision instrument, if you will. And how it gets there, it's incorporating the best of both worlds. So we take unidirectional carbon prepreg at 30 and 40 T. These are tow weights. And basically, we apply it in flags, the whole beam, 0 degrees and longitudinally, and then on the bias layer, 45 for torsional control. And then we take our filament winding process and we wind the entirety of this, what I call the Kevlar XO exoskeleton. We've never been able to produce a full Kevlar outer ply before, nor have we been able to combine full flag wrap table rolled core with filament winding. And so in theory, you're getting two shafts in one. It's the best of both processes, and we're vacuum curing. So we have the highest fiber aerial weight and lowest resin content. That's truthful to our entire line, but now it's even more so. And the elongation properties and the tenacity, the tensile strength of XO and its weight, lighter weight, afford us the ability to produce this revolutionary XO, Kevlar XO exoskeleton. So circumferentially, we're able to control hoop strength and toe droop and general ovaling and distortion and damping. You know, damping's more lower order, but it's 5 to 10 kilohertz level, but it's still a lot. And ultimately, that vibrational control, but vibrational constraint or any suppression of vibration allows you to create an effect, a reactive effect. Now, these are passive systems. There's no battery-powered transducer or something conductive to allow us to redirect that energy in a way, but the outer skeleton, the exoskeleton, is preordained for tension, so it allows it to react under certain loads in ways that other shafts just simply couldn't because of the variability in our construction. So we're actually using the compressive strength of the 30 and 40 T with the elongation and tenacity of the Kevlar XO. And where that's so meaningful is firstly, the new XO is basically two times stronger than the standard K29s of Kevlar, original Kevlars. And it's so much lighter, we couldn't produce commercially viable products with the original variants of Kevlar, which is over 100. And ultimately, it's not just that, though. It's that elongation property. So it isn't just a mass story. It's anything but. It's actually more a tailored reactive story. So being able to, and not a story, it delivers. It's proofs in the pudding, quantified performance. And so ultimately, it allows us to tailor each shaft for recovery, eliminate entirely some of the distortion and ovaling that you'd see, in conventional high-end premium table rolled flag wrap golf shafts. So it's the best of both worlds. And then when we shift gears to our Flexor product, because I can introduce that now in the discussion, is that we're using our proprietary unidirectional Aramid Kevlar XO unidirectional prepreg, which is so novel, that we're actually creating another bound system in a flag wrap table roll product with the same atomic structure as that being used in our filament wound. Same material, only we've created it in sheet form that we're allowed to now. Then we're basically, it affords us the ability to create flags of Kevlar Exo that are around flags of carbon fiber. And the beauty of that, it produces another end game result that is really demonstrable. And so our Fletcher series is the most forgiving golf shaft ever. Is that for everyone? No, because some golfers don't need forgiveness and efficiency. Not saying that our surge isn't, but at the end of the day, there is that profile difference. That's why we produce two profiles. It was important to cover the balance. So there isn't a player that couldn't fit into one of the two products and see a demonstrable improvement in their performance, to keep it in the golf sense, in that regard.
Wow. I have a couple of visuals here, and I think people will get pretty wrapped up in that. And it's probably important to isolate to that a little bit because it does show some of your application. And specifically, the Fletcher almost has like a candy cane looking profile, or winds up the shaft in certain portions. Mm-hmm. How critical is that application in that regard? What does that do to change it, rather than flipping it around and rolling it the other direction, or keeping it more lateral as opposed to moving up the shaft?
Yeah, great question. So we've tried all varieties of polarity. So that's the beautiful thing about a unidirectional. You can do anything you want in theory, because it's all dependent on how you cut your flags. And ultimately, what we've landed at here for release number one in the Fletcher is the best and most optimal bundle of properties based on the geometry, the mantle design, right, the shaft core design, the actual structural geometry of the shaft, goes from aspect ratio, taper rate, from butt to tip, to objectives for our EI, and then what the goal is for construction. So what materials are we going to use? So in this case here, Fletcher is having a 30 and 40 T core, longitudinally and bias layer. And those are for the same reasoning. So we're not changing that reasoning, but then we're bundling it in another layer that has this elastic strength, if you will, this elongation that's never before been seen in a unidirectional application. Now, the difference between that and our wound is that our wound, if you notice, is very visibly variable in its pattern and sequencing of patterning. And that's signature to us, in a sense. And these are both net parts. Actually, both are net parts, so they don't go through centerless grinder where we're cutting precious fiber. But ultimately, those are quadrilaterals, kite and dart and rhombus grids, and they're in the surge, and that's our wound process. And those are precise. We're changing fiber pattern, winding pattern in particular in millimeters versus flags, where we are limited to, because that's the process. And that bundle of properties versus the Fletcher bundle of properties are preordained for different modes. So therefore, then the geometries of those have to change. So I wouldn't use the same geometric design, the mandrel in the Fletcher, as I would in the surge, because they are totally different constructions ultimately, even if you're using the same materials but different applications of those materials. So this is where this gets, you know, layered, and again, you got to look at the causality of that. So it takes time to determine what your end game is, how you're delivering the product, in essence, what the downrange performance advantages are. So then you think from, I'll put the golfer hat on for a second, from the green back to the tee, on how you'd want to apply to get the greatest advantage right here, right now, today, based on the material configurations we're using, the processes we're using, the resin systems we're using, and the commercial viability of what it is. Because that's ultimately what comes down to. I mean, this is parenthetical, but some golf companies with their club heads will stop their process of grinding because it costs them 50 cents or a dollar more because they're cost driven. Well, again, these are determinants. So now everything has that boundary condition. But back to this, as it relates to performance, you put all those, you know, those criteria up and you list an agenda for a project plan, and then you try to hit as many of those milestones as you can within a, you know, we're a disruptor, but at the same time, it's not unconventional, it's conforming, and it's game changing, truly. And again, I've said this before in the show here now, but what we're delivering now is the most demonstrable application of the most revolutionary fiber to enter the composite space, unequivocal. There's no contest. So, and then when you can marry the aramid fiber, the Kevlar XO fiber, with high order carbon fiber, now you've got something that you've got a really, really sound system, and it's light years ahead of anyone else. I mean, truly, at this point in time, and those are the determinants that produce change. They're game changers for companies and people alike across the board. And again, I know for fact, nobody can state from the golf industry that they're looking to apply life-changing technology that they're using in golf, that they've innovated in golf, outside that category. And that's where we differ for sure. And again, I'm always looking at the globe, if you will, and you know, with that freedom of application, if we're doing well based on our applications, if we're showing promise in certain categories, there's absolutely no reason why there won't be crossover, and that's what we've seen here. We've hit a true milestone, and the material itself is outrageous. Our synergy, I will say this, our synergy with the team at DuPont, we have a true, as they call it, a symbiotic relationship. It's no fluke. We're both innovators. We're both disruptors. And well, we haven't saved as many lives anywhere near. But at the end of the day, it's a testament to two brands who are really, truly making a difference in each category that they compete in respectively. And so this is a very special thing. We have exclusivity on the material. We're the only ones now to put it to practice, even surprising to them, in a unidirectional format, you know, form factor, and we're really, really pleased with where we sit with the products today. Surge and Flexure, they're a testament, and the golfing audience is discerning, and ultimately, when this gets into the fitting shops and with our dealer partners or through us directly, because we want to open that door. I'll be very, you know, candid. I just want the golfers, as I've said before on the show, to get an opportunity to try game changing and to put it in their bag, to take, give us a vote of confidence on that basis, because what we've never done is overhyped and underdelivered. Quite frankly, it's the opposite. And we're going to learn that game too. So I got a good team who's going to help us, you know, on the basis of now our restructure back to where we started the discussion. So Kinetics is really the ultimate performance brand in the composite category in terms of sports applications or apparatus that could perhaps be life-changing and or quality of life-changing. And ultimately, that's what we're looking to do, is continue to innovate, put to practice, or support our partners who might take our materials and put them to practice in ways that you know, make me applaud and say, "Yeah, why didn't I think of that?"
I want to ask a pretty loaded question, and I think if you look at the way a steel shaft is constructed, you really have two things you can work with: the stepping and the material. And obviously strength as it relates to the thickness of said material. You move into a wrapped shaft or an alternative material graphite shaft. You have various flags, thickness, depth that you can go to. to create different profiles throughout the shaft. When I look at kinetics and I see these very uniquely applied outer layers or filaments or whatever you may call them, there is, in my mind, the understanding that there's a potential to manipulate the experience of that shaft in many, many ways based purely on how you're applying that. Is there control as to how much shaping you create, how you wind, which direction it's going in? Do you have a sort of unlimited ability to manipulate that shaft purely based on the design philosophy of it?
Yes, actually you used a great word, Dan, and I'm remiss that I didn't actually mention that earlier, potential. So we talked about Newtonian physics. I mentioned it, potential energy is key. Think of a spring and the potential that that spring has. So think of our golf shafts. Actually, these are springs. There is no spring-like effect taking place in a golf club head. I'll be brazen to say that because that's a marketing person's dream to tell that trampoline story, but sorry, it's so wrong in terms of physics. It's first ball pulse that you're mechanically, it's a mechanical impedance on first ball pulse. But I mean, that relationship between ball and club is very, very unique. But at the same time, the real spring-like effect is going on in particularly this range of shafts because we are actually preordaining the potential energy of that shaft through flexure and surge based on the material properties into the design. So we preordained based on the constraints that the material allows for and the processes that we're delivering it in to create these bundles of properties. So yes, potential is really key and it's very important. And back to the head thing for 1 second, there isn't enough time. That's why that trampoline effect doesn't work. So the design engineers have created these relief spots and cutout zones, which are now concealed. You're not seeing the slots as much as you were, but you're seeing very tailored structures. They're tailoring the structures for bending and deformation to keep the ball rounder throughout the impact. So the rounder the ball, the faster the exit velocity, the higher the exit velocity. So ultimately, that's a good thing, but it's more concealed. And that speaks to the earlier discussion on how far we've come. So they are able to use materials and mix and match from processes to create this confluence in their engineered system that creates performance that's outrageous. And ultimately, that's what we're doing. So we've basically created this potential, these two potential energy systems, and through different forms of the same material. And that's the bottom line. So yes, and the novelty of what we're doing, well, soon steel will be likened to like hickory in terms of its, even amongst great players, bombers, real ball strikers, because it's only really been embraced, carbon fiber was only embraced at a low level on the tours in a sense, because the limitations, higher velocity, there was disruption and distortion, and then this phenomena where it was uncontrollable, delivering uncontrollable results. So bombers didn't hit and still don't hit yet. They do hit some of ours. I mean, actually our K29 iron shafts are getting in counts on tours. We have the mock tour line, but ultimately there's reason for that. It's a steel shaft replacement. It's above and beyond. And that's consistency, repeatability. But speaking to the surge and flexure today, these are preordained and delivering consistent, repeatable results. They're bundles of potential energy. Truly, these are the true spring of the shaft, of the golf club, if you will. It's the true catalyst. So that's why they're delivering the end game result.
You mentioned a couple of big words that I think we as golfers are starting to learn a bit more about. Shaft droop, hoop strength, ovaling. These are things that we are actually starting to better understand as a more discernible golfer, someone who is listening to a podcast like this or hanging out talking golf on the Hackers Paradise forum. What is the end goal for things like that? What is the kinetics benefit to elements like that that the golfers should be aware of?
Quite simple. They can see what we're doing. This is the most transparent range of technology ever. In fact, in the Flexer, we're the world's first and only fully transparent unidirectional flag wrapped golf shaft. We're delivering their technology. They can see it. It's not hidden under some paint that gets sanded and replied and purposed for next year's model, which is, again, that goes on in the industry. You can grind enough. If you're allowed and afforded that luxury, you can grind down a bit of your shaft and reapply a layer or two and sell as new, at least to get rid of the stock. No, we're not afforded that. It's true transparent technology. So why is hoop strength increased? Why is droop missing now in this shaft? Why is it responsive the way it is? Why is it recovering the way it does? Well, part of that is you can see it in our designs. It's right there. Roll the shaft over, look at it, look at the fiber structure. That is with a purpose. This is designed with a purpose, pure and simple. And it is open the kimono, pure and simple. These are two of the most ever advanced exoskeletons of Kevlar Exo. Just happens to be a name play, but they are truly advanced. They're the most advanced in the history of golf shafts. There's nothing like what we do today. I mean, I can get into all the other derivations on another program, and I would be glad to do that. But the fact is, as we've been compared to others, there is no comparison to what we do. And I can quantify that simple and cut and dry, put some of that to bed. But the fact is, right now, to answer your question, the reason why we are reacting to some of these abnormalities you spoke of is you can see it. So proof's in the pudding, if you will. And that goes a long way. It is truly something we are really prideful of, but that's been our MO all along. I mean, you've seen other instances where companies have used Twill. Meaningless. There's no benefit to that. I mean, in fact, there's just, I won't even go into that rabbit hole today, but there's just no benefit to that. It's visible, but it's not creating the response and the authority over the end game result, which is to deliver the club head, present that club head so it can do its job, because it's a whole system. Very important. So yeah, that's the long answer to the question, but it's a couple different ways of looking at it, but delivering the same thing.
Well, let me ask the final question of this show anyway. And I think it really matters, because you have this new technology and people are going to start engaging with it and experiencing it and deciding for themselves whether it has a meaningful impact on their golf game. But more curious, because you're talking about a new technology that is wildly impactful for the golfers who actually apply it, how does that look for kinetics moving forward? Will you begin to try to incorporate this technology and this concept into alternative shaft options? Will we see a lot more activity from you over the next year or so? What is the goal for you at this point?
In terms of activity, product development or engagement?
Yes.
Yeah. So each application, we're still working on others forthcoming with the material in the same boundaries, kinetic shafts, iron shafts, putter shafts. Surge is a driver fairway. Flexer is a driver fairway. Actually, I've redone my irons. So ultimately, the hybrid would be like what will be a long iron profile. In fact, forthcoming in general, we refined our nomenclature a little bit too. And so keeping it simpler, I really do want to appeal to every golfer. I'm not trying to speak over their heads, and we just wanted to deliver a system that's easy and somewhat conveyable amongst the retailers. But you will see a three profile iron system. and that long iron profile will ultimately be a hybrid shaft, and then we'll have iron shafts. We're going to start with the lighter weight irons, take advantage of that market, because our K29 variants of iron shafts are still the best on the planet. I will say that. We have a mock tour iron that'll be available up on the website shortly, and through our dealer networks. It is outrageous for bombers. There's nothing like it. And then our ballistic series, which is the best irons in the category, 110, 95, 80, hands down. There's nothing that compares. Now, those are true discreetly made systems, so that gets to be really hard. So imagine we have 12 10 spindle filament winding machines, and for every setup we will run one length, one flex, one weight. That means we have a mandrel for every single, you do the numbers, we have thousands of mandrels just to produce a set of irons, and that gets cumbersome. So we refine that a little over time. You'll see that even in the ballistic and the mock lines. But ultimately for the Kevlar XO line, you will see a surge variation of iron shafts before the end of 26. I think that's safe. And that will also incorporate a hybrid application there as well from the cherry picking of the consolidated profiles in our irons. And then the sky's the limit when you see, as I mentioned, I expect to see this in other applications, golf. And that's in part of kinetics-powered synergy. It will be.
I love it. Man, it was so nice to spend some time hearing about what you're doing and talking about this crazy new technology. It's refreshing to have a unique conversation and look at things slightly differently. I'm of the belief that the shafts are in a great place, but I'm also of the belief that any new technology is of great benefit to us as golfers, because, you know, the idea that our I'm going to really butcher a potential marketing line, but the idea that our golf swing could be bulletproof is pretty appealing to me. So, you know, it's always such a riot to have you on. And you mentioned trying to simplify things. I think new is challenging, and I wouldn't be afraid to make a couple people go cross-eyed telling this story, because it is a cool one.
Well, have me on again, and I can bring out the whiteboard, and we can do a little fun calc or two. And we've got a couple of the fun things coming. That would be demonstrating proof in the pudding, hands-on. Maybe we'll do a lab, a live session where I can show a little bit of what we do hands-on in a test. And we have something very exciting that I've been using for 30 years, and I've refined it. So it's a mechanical device that will be, it's going to be fun. And I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to just make golfing buddies, if you will. I'm going to say that in a sense that's more meaningful than it was intended. But the fact is, we're a leader, and we expect to be perceived as that, but that respect is earned. And I think what we deliver earns that. So again, incomparable technical value proposition. We put our best foot forward at all times. And we just really now want to embrace the golfer that's truly, if they're searching, then you don't have to look too far to find a solution in our array of cutting edge advanced technology. And unfortunately, I have eaten Kevlar XO. I've been working with it so much in so many different forms that I think I have eaten it. I joke about that, but I've been pretty close to the subject matter. We're not afraid to get my hands dirty. You have to be good with both mind and hands. It's key. We walk the talk. So ultimately, give it a chance. What you're seeing is what you're getting. True technology. There's nothing like it.
Well, listen, folks, I hope you enjoyed Jason coming on today. If you haven't listened to a couple of the other episodes he's been on, it's always an adventure, which is why I let in with the show kind of smiling, because I knew what I was in for. I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, Kinetics, Surge, and Flexure sound really, really interesting. Go check out James' article on the homepage on THP if you haven't already to get a little bit more in depth. Especially check out the pictures, because beyond the words, which matter a lot, you, as Jason's already mentioned, the visuals are really impactful to see what's going on here. I suspect we're going to see more of it on the THP community forum, so please go chat with us over there. And Jason, I look forward to the next one, my friend.
Me too, Dan. Be well.
Hey, if you guys are playing golf this weekend, have fun. Really think about that hoop strength, that shaft you're swinging, and decide whether it's doing exactly what you need it to or not. We'll see you guys next week.
Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
Hey everybody, Don Brown back here with another Shaft University. This week's a question about Project X and if we have any graphite iron shafts coming out soon. All I can say is...
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.